It's Thursday, and time for Across the Aisle, our foray into Maine politics. This week, Cynthia Dill, an attorney and columnist for the Portland Press-Herald, who served in the legislature as a Democrat. Former Republican lawmaker Meredith Strang Burgess of Burgess Advertising and Marketing. And Dick Woodbury, an economist who served in Augusta as an independent. They spoke with Keith Shortall.
Cynthia, Dick, Meredith, happy Thursday. So a story published in The Bollard, a Portland monthly, last week, raised allegations that Democratic Representative Dylan Bates of Westbrook had inappropriate relationships with students at schools he had worked at. Now, that has prompted a call for an ethics investigation from Republican Representative Paula Sutton of Warren, a request that Democratic House Speaker Sarah Gideon says she will put before the House for a vote whenever it gets back into session. Gideon herself called on Bates to resign his position in the House after the story came out. We should note that the story in The Bollard did not identify the sources making the allegations and that Bates has not been charged with any crimes. In fact, his attorney says the allegations are baseless and that Bates will continue to serve out his term. Cynthia, to you first, our resident attorney with your attorney hat on. With no charges against Bates or public witnesses, what would an ethics hearing based on a story in The Bollard look like?
Well, there's picture two tracks. There's the legal track on which Dylan Bates has jeopardy if there are criminal charges or a civil case. But on the political side, if there's an ethics investigation and a finding or a public censure by the House of Representatives, then that essentially scars his political career. I mean, it kind of takes him out of the running. But it also, I think, gives an opportunity for the House to get to the bottom of it, because there could be a resolution on the legal side that's confidential. And so I see this playing out just exactly as it should. It seems like everyone has done the right thing. The Speaker of the House, I think, did right by her caucus and the accusers, allegedly. The Republican, of course, on the Oversight Committee, I think, is not unreasonable to want an investigation. And Dylan Bates, I don't blame him for not resigning. He doesn't have to resign. And he has a good attorney. So I think we're really at the beginning of this rather than the end.
Dick, is this just the right thing?
Well, I think it is. Particularly in light of the Portland Press-Herald story today, which said that they had interviewed three employees of the former Maine State Girls Academy, who all said independently that they had reported a potential thing to a state hotline. That, to me, is sufficient probable cause to proceed with an ethics hearing like this. And again, it's not, you know, there's not presumption of guilt, but I think there is sufficient probable cause to proceed with the hearing.
Meredith?
The piece that's the little somewhat troublesome is the fact that the Portland Press-Herald reported today that these allegations and calls made to hotlines, et cetera, were in fact a while back. So the question is, who knew what when? And so that's what's building now, is a little bit of the extra political intrigue that seems to be underway. And I would guess that calling for an ethics review would bring perhaps out all of that. But it gets a little delicate because possibly people have known about this for months and nobody did anything about it until the Bollard story broke. So is there a cover-up? I don't know, but that's what these different groups and commissions do.
The troubling thing for me is looking at this through the lens of a civil rights lawyer is that in the legal process, there are things in place. There's cross-examination that really tests a theory and provides justice and due process, whereas when you have something like this unnamed sources, you really are limited in holding a journalist accountable. You don't know why the sources have remained anonymous. You don't know if there's any motive. So I think this case obviously is interesting for its facts and its politics, you know, that are specific to the case. But also it raises questions about accountability on the part of journalists. And in this Me Too environment, how fair is it to vet these cases?
All right. A new poll from Suffolk University shows that the governor's race is a dead heat between Democrat Janet Mills and Republican Sean Moody, the two independents, Alan Caron and Terry Hayes, trailing far behind at this point. And 15% of those surveyed indicate they're still undecided. Now, to remind you, Dick, this race will not be voted on using ranked choice. So do you think this early poll will reflect what the story will be throughout the course of the campaign, or do you think the independents will have an effect as this campaign plays out in moving the dead heat?
Well, I think it's way too early to know for sure. I would point out that in 2010, right after the primary, the first poll had Elliot Cutler at 7%, and he came up to what his 36% that he finally got. So there have been no debates. It's early. There's been visibility on the primaries. There hasn't been visibility on the general election. So I think there's plenty of time. And we also do know from the last two governor's races that there were significant swings, one toward Elliot Cutler and one away from him, in each of those elections. So I'll certainly concede that it's not great news for the two independents. But I also think there's a long ways to go when they could very well show, what they plan to do for the state.
Meredith, do we learn anything from a poll like this other than this is what people are thinking if the election were held tomorrow?
Bingo. They had some interesting numbers in there about favorability factors, which, you can sort of start to draw some conclusions about who has potential on the upside to be favorable as opposed to do they come in with some unfavorable numbers. So those are sort of interesting to kind of parse through. The fact that the two party candidates were so strongly ahead, when you put the two independents together, you've got, 6.6% of the voters. It's the beginning of a very long political season. What, we have 97 more days?
Who's counting?
Yeah.
Cynthia?
I think it's 90.
90. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I thought the poll was interesting in a couple of respects. One that jumped out to me was when it came to the most important issue for a governor's race, I was surprised that abortion was so low. The other thing that was interesting to me about the poll is that Senator Collins' favorability is, I think, the lowest it's ever been. I'm not sure, but I think it's the lowest it's ever been. And so it makes you wonder, is it because she's taken a position? Is it because of the Kavanaugh nomination? Or is it these Russian trolls who have been attacking her? And is that having an influence? And so it's just, that's sort of my initial takeaway. As far as the governor's race, what jumps out at me is just the question, it's like deja vu all over again, is Terry Hayes or Alan Caron, are the combination of them going to be a kingmaker or a queenmaker for Janet Mills or Sean Moody? I mean, once again, I think the independents in the race are going to have an impact, and the effects are, I think, are going to be interesting to watch how that plays out on ranked choice voting and what Democrats do on some of these issues going forward that they seem to like but hurt them in the long run.
Cynthia, Dick, Meredith, see you next time.
And you can hear Across the Aisle most Thursdays at this same time. This is Maine Public Radio.